pleasure to be back in Portland. Today's been quite a day. Before I tell you about my day, we're going to play some songs. This song in particular is called Default Chill. Fifth cancellation or something. The fifth rescheduling, I should say. So we finally made it. Pretty amazing. Thank you so much. Did anyone have like an original ticket?
Yes.
You guys are so sweet. Thank you. That must have been like, Must have been frustrating. Even diehards. Thanks so much for being here. Cool. This was written early in the pandemic, in that very weird time. I don't know if this happened on the West Coast, but on the East Coast we were all wearing gloves and not masks. It was a strange time. So, in honor of that very bizarre week, the song's called Can't Touch This or That or You or My Face. Thank you. you very much. Where's the stickies? Did you take them? I didn't take them. Can you look for them? Okay, before I stand up, I have to tell you guys something. I am pregnant. Wait. I am pregnant with a meatball that is a 14-centimeter fibroid. And I know, it's so gross. So I'm gonna stand up, my body's gonna look crazy, but I wore this outfit to, like, mess with your mind. Okay. Celia is searching for my drumsticks, but here we go.
Oh, yeah. It sucks.
Yeah, it's, yeah, thank you. Attilio Rigotti on the video and programming and everything. So I decided to wear this jumpsuit because it really, you know, it really brings out this whole situation here. And this woman who made it for me, like, she made it and then she died and I've never worn it. So I thought, well, you know, cycle of life. But anyway, that is what's happening. There's a lot of fun things that we can discuss in private, but I am like low energy, low everything, low, like, just, but I will have a hysterectomy on June 10th. Cannot wait. Oh my God, cannot. And yeah, has anyone had a hysterectomy?
Yes.
Yes. By applause. Do you even know anyone who's had a hysterectomy? So it's pretty common. It's not threatening. It's just most of the time you have multiple fibroids. I just have the one big boy. Like, that's it. It's very smooth. It's very weird. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with. I'm performing as a duo, and the duo is just a giant sausage.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. I could be home miserable, or I could be here miserable. Surgery ain't cheap. Arrivederci. Okay, this is my magic drum. Let's see which one we're going to go.
After touch beauty, before after the rhythm, before after we do, before after beauty, before after touch we do, touch we do, touch the rhythm we do, touch the rhythm we do, touch beauty we do, touch the rhythm we do, touch after we do, after touch after beauty, after we do, after touch after we do, before before we touch after, before 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 we do, after rhythm touch before we do, before 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 touch after, before 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 we do, after the rhythm, 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 after, before, After, we do.
The rhythm.
Before.
Touch. Beauty.
Before.
After.
We do. Before.
After.
The rhythm.
Beauty.
After. Before.
After.
Before.
After.
I have a godchild, and this song I wrote for him, and it is called Godchild. But seriously, if you need to be sad or like get it out, trust me, this is a song. This is your moment. Thank you. Thank you very much. This song is called Puzzle Me.
Thank you.
therapy. I don't know why I'm paying someone to be my friend and how that works exactly, like why I feel better, but I do. And she knows a lot about my mom. But sometimes, you know, just gonna have a little therapy session right here and now, okay? So just, it's a safe space. Let's get calm, okay?
Relentless.
Sanguine.
You can say, I am feeling pleasant. Tell me what you're feeling.
Feeling.
Tell me what you're feeling.
Feeling.
Tell me what you're feeling.
Feeling.
Tell me what I am feeling. You can say, I am feeling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could you put some of the microphone in my monitor so I don't sound like I'm inside a fishbowl, or I'm inside the bowl, but my voice is outside the bowl. I don't know. So I never get to tell this. I've been actually kind of banned from telling the story. So you, no, really, it's not what you think. So you can't tell my parents. Shit. All right. So, needing to have a hysterectomy for a meatball is kind of routine. But, it's really strange to have an organ that's being legislated. And since I'm gay, I never really had to think about, you know, what I would do if I got pregnant, and so that didn't really come up. But I want to tell you a story about these people that were connected to Roe versus Wade. And I just want the story to be known a bit, because it's interesting. So, the original, has anyone gone to law school here? Any lawyers? You don't want to admit it. What's that?
My wife's lawyer.
Sorry. Well, it's like there's this one class they take in law school where, like, you can sue everyone, and everything is a lawsuit waiting to happen, and it's like a personality change, and they never come back from it. Okay, so John and Mary Doe were a married couple in Texas in the late 60s, early 70s. And they were a professional couple. They had aims to improve themselves economically and educationally. And frankly, Mary was a real smart person, and she was actually doing binary code, or 8-bit code by hand to program the cockpits of helicopters. And so she was a real smart person. John was like trying to not get drafted or something, riding motorcycles, I don't know. And, but Mary couldn't take chemical contraception. So she couldn't take the pills. So they had to use, you know, condoms and diaphragms, and that those aren't always perfect, and so nothing is perfect, but they were not ready to have a family, but she did get pregnant twice. And since she was in Texas and they didn't have a ton of money, you could go to a state in the US that had legal abortion, but it was tricky. So sometimes you just had to do the cheapest thing that was available, which in her case was to do kind of go through a network. And then she ended up going to Mexico and was like picked up at the airport by some dude in a taxi and taken and had the procedure. And this happened twice. So they got involved, they were involved in the women's movement already that was happening in Texas, mainly going into banks and finding women who were doing exactly the same things bankers were doing, except not being called a banker and not being paid as a banker. So they were already interested in civic improvement. And they met some people. They met Sari Weddington, and they met Linda Coffey, who were the two big lawyers for Roe versus Wade. There's also a third person, a doctor, who was part of the case. He was able to form the procedure safely, and he was not allowed to, and this was that was his reason for being part of the case. So Wade was the Attorney General of Texas. And so this is, you know, this case goes to a circuit court. There's three judges. John and Mary Doe were found to not have standing because they were not in any danger in the moment. They did not currently need an abortion, and the doctor as well. Both of those plaintiffs were decided to have no standing. Meanwhile, Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe, was like very heavily pregnant. I don't think at that point abortion was an option for her. So it's interesting how those things work. So John and Mary Doe are part of this case. They actually end up going to the Supreme Court and seeing their friends, these people that they have gotten organized with and involved with, argue this case and win. And it was a big deal. So they weren't plaintiffs, but they were part of the thing from the beginning. And the effect that it had on Mary was that she could see that she was not going to, you know, there was a, she had hit the glass ceiling. Like, she was never going to be a manager or have a team or, like, be able to do bigger work where she was. And she was being told to her face that, well, that's never going to happen. So she decided, she was very galvanized by this, and she became a lawyer. And then John, this is in the mid-70s, then John was working in this kind of startup kind of thing for the 70s, which was this thing called cable television. And Mary, once she got her law degree, because John and Mary had always wanted to be entrepreneurs. They'd always wanted to own their own business. That was very, it was something that was very, they, you know, they, as a married couple, they wanted to do something like that together. And so, you know, she was able to go and get this degree, and then she said to John, no one will ever pay for television. You have to become a lawyer too. So John goes and gets his law degree, and then they open a law firm together in Atlanta, Georgia, which that was where Mary is from, and they had moved back there. And a year later, I was born. And those are my parents. True. And what's cool is that, you know, there's interesting things and tough things about their example, because they're a tiny, tiny footnote in, you know, an incredibly huge decision that the Supreme Court made. But I've never figured out a way to say this eloquently. Not every plaintiff, let's say, is like a Rosa Parks. You know, Rosa Parks was sort of this impeccable character. She was not the first person that refused to get up off the bus, but she was the first person who was like, you know, there was no criticism to find, and that's why she made this sort of excellent plaintiff. Also, she was incredible and very brave and an activist and all these wonderful things. So, in a weird way, my parents kind of, their life was able to show what planning a parenthood really means. They were able to, you know, go back to school, and they were able to, you know, create the job that they really wanted. And they were able to create the family they wanted when they wanted it. And I don't know, I think it's really interesting to talk about right now. They do not like publicity. They have avoided it at all costs, basically. So I'm not really allowed to tell you this, so don't tell my parents. But yeah, it's a cool story, right? And so I'm not saying my parents are Rosa Parks. I'm just saying that, you know, the example of Norma McCordy, who had a very challenging life, versus the example of my parents, is, you know, it's wide. And you know, it does frustrate me sometimes that they weren't the actual, you know, the plaintiffs of the case that did go to the Supreme Court, because, you know, their character's not impeccable, they drive me nuts, but they were on this path of, like, we just want, you know, the future that we want. So anyway, if that's interesting to you, feel free to share it. Don't say my name. And say there's an interesting painter that came of this. Anyway, so by the way, the footnote is that they formed a law firm named King & King in Atlanta, and they had my sister a few years after me, and like King & King was like my birthright, okay? I was raised in a law firm, so I know I'm crazy. So, like, the devil's advocate shit going from place to place was like, that's what it is. So our family was, you know, just a debate team. And my little sister, you know, we both kind of assumed we would just end up being lawyers. So I went to college and figured I would mess around until I had to do, you know, pre-law or law school or whatever. And then I started playing guitar in the subway, and all this stuff happened to me. And then my sister was like watching me, you know, travel the world and play guitar. She's like, do you want this law firm? And I was like, I do not want this law firm. So my sister went to law school, and she now works for my parents. Exactly. So that's my story. I'm gonna play with this thing. Give me 1 second. This is called a passerelle. I didn't bring any with me tonight, but you can get them from my website. And it's a bridge that makes your guitar sound really interesting, so give me 1 sec to set it up. So again, these are called passerelles, and you can get them on my website. And surgery isn't free, you know. Every dollar counts. But these are really good for, they're very heavy, they're sort of like art objects, objet d'art. I don't know, my son is starting French next year, so I have to learn French. So they're very good paperweights. They're whatever you want them to be, honestly. They're sort of just pretty things, or conversation pieces. Okay, now we're gonna do something very weird.
Don't pass out. Thanks, guys. I know I'd be okay. If I passed out, you'd be fine. Pick her up. This will be fine. Okay. Here we go. I invented this in your... Oh, wait. Hang on. No.
I invented this in... In Europe, in Venice, in the biennial, and I want to, before I play this, I want to auction it off, because nothing is real. So I am auctioning this, and the opening bid is 10 Teslas. Who would like to make a bid on this artwork that I haven't yet shown you? Who's going to pay 10? Who's the opening bid? 10 Teslas. Nothing's real. Money's not real. Yes, 10 Teslas. All right, who? Can I get 20 Teslas? 20 over there. All right, can we go up to 50? 50 Teslas, 50 Teslas.
100 Teslas.
100 Teslas on the 100 Teslas in the back. All right, can I get 200? Can I get 200 Teslas? 500 Teslas right there. Wow, 500 Teslas. That's amazing. Can I get 1,000 Teslas? Who wants to go to a... What's that? 1,500 Teslas! Oh my god! Alright, can I get one person who wants to pay me a Tesla factory for the art that I'm about to play? All the Tesla factories. Sold! Thank you for participating. Sorry to those who are going home empty-handed. You're not allowed to look. Nothing is real.
Here I am.
Token at some point in the future when Bitcoin is worth something again. Okay, that was good. Let's do more music. Also, if you don't understand my art, then you're dumb. That's the impression I get when I don't understand art. I'm like, guess I'm dumb. And then I was like, yeah. Sorry, you are. And then I'm like, why does it cost so much? And you're like, shh. Don't ask questions. Don't mean I want your tax write-off. Shh. Tax shelters. Shh. It's okay. I love it when people say the arts are vital. I'm like, if anything, the last 2 years has shown us that, like, putting bread on a grocery shelf is vital. Yeah. Arts are not vital. They're just fun.
Thank you. bestie of the video, everybody. Do I have a time limit? Do I have to stop at some point? Do you have a time limit? Okay. Well, just let me know. TSA was real messed up today, for many reasons. I'm not going to go into it, but I will say this woman was very drunk. I've seen drunk people at the airport before, but this was like pre-gates. This was TSA. Like, she pre-gamed the whole event. And I have not seen that. I've been that, but I haven't. More than you know. And so, oh my God, it was insane. There was a very large family, like multiple generations, all traveling together, little kids, grandma, they're all trying to keep it together. And there was just a train wreck. And, you know, but we're getting through and everyone's getting their stuff and their passports and all of it, and there's a whole thing. And so there was kind of this mix up of like who was where and who needed to go with which child or which elderly person. Whatever. And so the woman in question who has a person with her who is trying to hide the fact that she's drunk, like, gets, and I'm not making fun of drunk people, like, I have been there. But for the grace of God, seriously. So, but it was so funny. She got stuck in the machine. So, I know, it's just incredible. So while this other large family is trying to figure their stuff out, she just kind of wanders over, and then her dude is like yelling and trying to find her phone. And so he was gonna have to get her through and then go back out there to get her phone. And so she's been given instructions, but she can't remember that she has to take her jewelry off and keep it off and take her head, her sunglasses off. And then she can't, when they asked her to do this, oh my God, she fell over and like got wedged inside. And, oh man. Oh my God. And so then they're like, close the box, close the box, which I guess is the name for this thing. So then the like authority figures come, and I don't know what you do. Like, what is that? Like, you probably can't board your plane, you know, but can you? I don't know. So anyway, that was a fun thing to do while in Minneapolis on my connecting flight that arrived at 5:30 tonight. I know, it was not ideal. But Attilio Ragazzi set everything up and got everything ready for me, so everything's working beautifully thanks to this guy. Yeah, so just get drunk after security. Pro tip. This song's called Neanderthal. Thank you. more song. One more song. Really? That's what they told you? All right, no one told me. All right, we're going to do one more song. Thank you so much, Portland Fire, Winning Stat Theater, for having me back. Oh my gosh. It's been a long time in the making. Next time I see you, I'll be, well, meatless. I don't know. This is so crazy. Ah, I'm on my period. I don't even know what's going to happen. They say pooping is a big, hard thing to do for a long time. Like, you don't, and you don't have the regular scent signals, so you're like, ah, it's happening. So, I don't know. But anyway, thanks for sharing the journey. Would you like to see my MRI? You're not going to believe it. Someone's going to throw up. Okay. Atelio's going to get it on the guitar, just so you know what I'm dealing with.
What the fuck?
I know.
I mean, it's like I should go to the emergency room right now.
It's horrible. Thank you. All right.
The most fucked up part of this is that normally you shouldn't be reading your own MRI, but because of, you know, HIPAA laws and changes to all that, I was scrolling through this MRI on my phone, like rolling through the different slices of my body, like, oh, cool. Which I don't, like, I can't unsee that, so. Anyway, women, people with uteruses, if you ever feel a really kind of heavy feeling, like you have to pee a lot more, it's not just because you're 40s, it's not just because you're getting fat because of COVID, I mean, it could be, but like, you should have that checked out before they like, well, I got caught up in the medical establishment, which was a good thing, but this was actually discovered not by a GI doctor, because I was having stress issues from a death in the family, and I was like, man, you gotta help me, like, it's just not right, and he's like, what is that inside of you? You have a thyroid. I was like, what is a fibroid? So there's a lot of different things, and there's different terms, and we should be taught this in elementary school, but we are not. There's fibroids, there's cysts, there's other cysts, there's different kinds of fibroids, they're in different positions, I don't know. I didn't study Latin, but there's all that kind of stuff in there. But I should know these things about my body. I didn't even know what a fibroid was until I had a 14-centimeter one, so. You know, like, don't listen to the line of like, oh, we're just getting older and like shit happens. Like, yes, it does. We fall apart, but certain things are unacceptable. So I am your cautionary tale, okay? Like, don't grow a 14-centimeter and growing meatball. You can avoid that. Jesus. Oh. By the way, the GI doctor was adamant that I have a colonoscopy, which was totally fine. And then, since the colonoscopy was fine and I had such low iron, because of my fibroid, he was still like, no, we have to do an endoscopy to make sure. Yes, so I have been looked at from ass to tongue, and it's all good. But none of it has been pleasant. So with that, I'm gonna play a song. Oh my God. I'm gonna play a song, and this song is a prayer for peace. It's a prayer that we all get home safe tonight, and that my flight doesn't get canceled in the morning and no one's drunk at the airport. Or who, you know, drunk in the wrong place at the airport. Thank you all so very much.
Avoid any pestilence and war, and we'll see you next time.